Well, Steve gave me, or somebody did, gave me a little stool to stand on so that y'all might be able to see me better, or at least maybe I could then look as tall as Steve at this point in the pulpit. But let me move that just a few minutes, take a few seconds to move that so that I can get myself situated this morning here in the pulpit. I am so glad to see all of you here today, and very thankful for your attendance and your presence. It's certainly encouraging. We're glad to be back in town from our trip, and we enjoyed it very much. And so just thankful to see all of you here this morning. Debated on what I wanted to speak on this morning. I had two sermons, and I'm not sure which one I need to decide on. I don't know if I need to go with Blessed Are the Peacemakers or if I need to go with the one that I had planned to speak on tonight, Questions from the Apostles. The one, Questions from the Apostles, and if I were asking you to vote, is the shorter of the sermons. So I don't know which one you want, if you want Blessed Are the Peacemakers or if you want Questions from the Apostles. But I guess I'll stay with what we've got out there in the foyer, although it may be a little bit lengthier than the one that we will do this evening. But I want to invite you, if you have your Bibles, to open them to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Years of political domination by various countries has plagued your nation. You long for a time when you're out from under your oppressors and you live in freedom. Such was the hope of the Jewish people during the time of Jesus. A people who were in touch with their past. A people who had seen such wonderful liberators as Moses and Joshua. And they had read about that, and they would obviously reminisce about those men who were able to lead their people out of bondage and into a situation where they were free. They reminisced about the glory days when they were in control of the nations surrounding them, when they had subdued those people that God said they would subdue. And they were certainly aware of the promise of the coming Messiah. We think about the landscape there in Israel at the time of Jesus. We think about how that particular nation was now an imperial province, not a senatorial province. And the difference for those people was this. An imperial province had a procurator, which we know to be Pilate, and a senatorial province was one that had a proconsul. The senatorial provinces had representation, and those senators would appoint a leader for a year. The imperial provinces, they were marked by discord and difficulty and problems. And so we find where that the people of Israel are now a part of an imperial province. They are under the bondage of Rome. They wanted to be free. They wanted to be free of bondage. They wanted to live with the liberation and the freedom. And they were thinking about that Messiah. And they were looking for Him and they were anticipating Him. And they just knew that He would come and rally the troops and crush Rome. Well, let's enter Jesus. We want to look at that in Matthew chapter 4. Here He comes preaching what? The kingdom is at hand. Now His words were, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But if you're looking for a Messiah, and you've got this individual who comes to you and says, all right, the kingdom is at hand, what do you think is going through the minds of the people? Not only that, not only is that His message that the kingdom is at hand, He is a man with great powers. According to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 24, they have witnessed the great miracles. They have brought their sick to Him. He's healed them. He's delivered them of their diseases. It is obvious this man has some special abilities that the rest of the people don't have. He is a leader. He is a man who is preaching the kingdom is at hand. He is powerful. And then, according to Matthew chapter 4, 24 through 25, He has an enormous following. Isn't that somebody you might get behind as well? A guy who says the kingdom is at hand. A guy who has all of these great powers. The people are following Him, these crowds. And that's what Matthew 4, 24 and 25 says. And great crowds followed him. His popularity was at a high at this point. They wanted to know what was going on with this guy. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And so he gathers them on a mountain. He gathers them on a mountain, and can you imagine the fever pitch there must have been as they thought, okay, he's fixing to give us our marching order. He's about to tell us how we can cast off this Roman oppression. He's going to tell us that it's time for war. Can you just see that today? A man preaching the kingdom is at hand. A man with power. Man who has great following. It is a rally and we're to war. But it wasn't a message of war. Instead, as he gathered them on that mountain, he preached to that great crowd. He talked to them about a message of peace. A message of peace. And in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." You want to be a part of this army? You want to be a part of this group? You need to be a peacemaker. Well, today we're going to think about that. Spiritual peacemakers. How we can become spiritual peacemakers. How we can be called the sons of God as well. To begin with, I want us to notice that a spiritual peacemaker will follow the lead of the Master, the Lord. When we look at a few passages of Scripture, we think about 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. There, he is called the Lord of Peace. In Isaiah 9 and 6, he is called the Prince of Peace. That's one of the names that's given to describe the Messiah that's going to come. He's going to be a Prince of Peace. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, there Paul would say, he is our peace. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. What the Scriptures record Paul telling us? It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." In Colossians chapter 1, "Through him reconciled all things to himself, making peace by the blood of his cross." And then we look at Matthew chapter 21. Here's a parable. And in this parable, what do we find? Well, we find this great man that seems to be rich, and he's a landowner, and he has decided that he is going to fix things so that tenants can live there and they can produce food and they can share that stuff with him. And so he sets everything up and he builds this hedge and he prepares the ground and he makes it ready for people to be able to come in and plant and to live off of that land. And in return for living off that land and being blessed with all the things that are there provided, they are to give a part back to that landowner. And of course, the landowner sends one of his servants out, and they kill that guy. They don't want that guy, they beat him, and they send him back, so he sends somebody else. And eventually that guy meets the same fate, and then they send the son. And what do? They say, "Oh, wait, here's the heir. All right, now if we can get rid of this guy, there's nobody else in line. It becomes ours." So what? They killed him. They killed him. What is the story about initially? It's about a man trying to help other people, to live in peace with them, to provide for them, to help them. Oh yes, is it right for them to give back a part of what has been given to them? Absolutely. But notice all the blessings they received as a result of the generosity of the landowner. And that's the situation for us. We are so blessed. The landowner, God, the Creator, has provided us with so many things. He says, "Listen, you can have it all. He requires us to be his servants and his subjects. He wants to live at peace with us. Here's how we can have peace. Let's cooperate with one another. Let's work together. Follow the lead of the Master. Appreciate Adi talking about in his class today the uniqueness of Christians. And that's what he talked about, us being unique. In many cases, we're not supposed to be like the world because the world is ready to go to war. There is strife and animosity and there's anger and there's resentment. But we are not to be like that. We are to be different. We are a peculiar people. We are supposed to be peacemakers. And if we will believe in that and if we'll accept it and follow it, well, then we'll be called the sons of God. We truly will be unique. So spiritual peacemakers follow the lead of their master. Secondly, a spiritual peacemaker will adopt the following practices. Number one, a peacemaker is going to be someone who swallows the pride. They're going to act with humility, as we see in Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 8, and again following the lead of the master who was humble and became obedient to death, even to death on the cross. We're going to swallow our pride. You know, a lot of times that pride gets in the way of a lot, doesn't it? And our pride creates dissension for us. Now, we don't want other people to think that we can't do something, or I'm proud about this, or I'm going to demand my rights in a specific situation. And so my pride gets in the way, and it creates problems. If I want to be a peacemaker, I'm going to swallow my pride. And I'm going to humble myself. Now, I'm not going to think too highly of myself than I ought to think, but I'm going to think as I should think about myself and realize who I am. Realize the problems that I have. Sometimes we have that pride. We can't admit that we're wrong. We can't admit that I made a mistake. And if I can't admit that when I have truly done that, it creates problems and difficulties. Second thing that we need to do is we need to avoid strife. In Genesis, we read about Abraham and Lot. Abraham was ready to avoid the strife. Their servants, the ones that worked out there with all of their cattle, and all of their oxen, all their sheep, they were at odds with each other because their herds had grown so large that the land wasn't able to contain all of them. So what are we going to do? Well, you know what the answer for the herdsmen was? Well, let's just duke it out. Let's fight. And whoever's herdsmen win, that herd gets the land. That's how we're going to solve this problem. This is how we're going to settle it. We're not going to be diplomatic about it. Here, let's go. It's time for us to fight and quarrel. But what did Abraham do? Wait a second. There's no reason for there to be this animosity and this strife between us. And so he carries Lot up on the mountain. He says, listen, pick what you want and I'll go in the other direction. I don't want there to be any kind of strife or animosity between us. We're going to avoid that at all costs if we can. Let's think of a better solution than getting angry with each other and fighting with each other. Let's avoid the strife. A spiritual peacemaker will seek peace with a soft answer. A soft answer turns away wrath. You know, sometimes we get defensive, don't we? And when somebody raises their voice to us, they're angry with us. What is our natural tendency? Our natural tendency is to raise our voice and get angry and maybe shout at them as well. Instead of taking a step back and answering in a soft tone and diffusing situation. We go about it all wrong, don't we? We take the loud, defensive approach. And we attack back. Spiritual peacemakers will seek peace with a soft answer. Spiritual peacemakers will conceal secrets. We need to conceal secrets according to Proverbs chapter 11 and 12 through 13. We don't go out and tell everything that's been told to us in confidence by the people that we're supposed to be friendly to or be friends of. We conceal those secrets. You talk about wanting to cause problems. You want to be a troublemaker? Then start going and revealing everybody's secrets. Isn't that what a lot of people love to do, though? Boy, they get a juicy bit of information, and I just can't wait to tell somebody else all of this stuff, and we just get something started. That's not being a peacemaker, is it? It's not being a peacemaker if I'm trying to stir up the hornet's nest. And so as Christians, as peculiar people, people that are not of this world, let's not try to start creating problems. Let's conceal the secrets. And if it's some information that needs to be kept at home and quiet and private, keep quiet and private. And don't go out to try to start a problem or stir up trouble between people. That's not who we are as Christians. And so a spiritual peacemaker will conceal secrets. A spiritual peacemaker will live as though peace is the only option. Peace is the only option. You know, I think about a little story. I think about this story about two monks. It says, how to prevent a quarrel. Two monks. They lived together in accord and amity, or I'm going to say it wrong, sorry. Friendship, how's that? Let's just go with that word. Friendship. But the monotony of their manner of life finally moved one of them to say, hey, let us get out of this groove of our humdrum and let's do what the world does. Having lived that life of seclusion, one of the monks inquired, well, what does the world without do? Well, for one thing, the world outside has quarrels. Okay, having lived together for so long in the bondage of the kind of love that they had forgotten how to quarrel, so he queried, well, how does the world quarrel? So the monk replied, see that stone? Place it between us and say, this stone is mine. Willing to accommodate his friend, he said, the stone is mine. Pausing for reflection and feeling the compulsion of their years of friendship, the monk who suggested the quarrel concluded, well, brother, if the stone is thine, keep it. And thus ended the quarrel. The only option. I'm going to just choose to live a peaceful life. I'm not going to try to stir up problems. I'm not going to create problems. So let's live as though peace is the only option that there is. That's what spiritual peacemakers will do. There's not another option. I'm not going to go and create problems. I'm going to try to live peaceably with all. You know, I think about the story of the gentleman, how he got through. There was a certain mountain in West Africa, and in this mountain, there was a tribe of cannibals. And there in that mountain, this tribe of cannibals, they had a stronghold there. Troops had tried to cross the mountain, but they had failed. One day, a missionary went alone into the enemy's country. So he went right up that mountain into the cannibals' territory, calmly climbed the mountain and reached the other side. Later, he met the captain of the troops. The cap said, do you mean to tell me that you got through untouched? Well, I guess he looked and saw that he wasn't missing any fingers from the cannibals, or, you know, they didn't nibble on. He got through untouched. He said, how'd you do it? The missionary said, you went as men of war. I went as a man of peace. That's how I got through. And that's how we can get through. To see peace as the only option. Not looking to create problems. I want to be a peacemaker. I want to be a son of God. And that's what He calls us to do and be. Finally, a spiritual peacemaker will seek to make peace with the following. Number one, and first of all, this is the most important. He's going to seek to make peace with God. I invite you to open to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Well, how has peace been made? Well, peace has been made by the blood of Jesus Christ. That gift of grace has been extended. What does He say in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8? For by grace you have been saved through faith. Through faith. So I need to make peace with God. He has offered His Son as a sacrifice on my behalf, and now it's my part to have faith in that and accept it and submit to Him, and therefore I can be at peace. Turn over to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. Here is Jesus as He approaches Jerusalem. And when He drew near and saw the city, He wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Peace. It's time for us to make peace with God and alive. Have you made peace with Him? That's the first thing. We think to seek to make peace. We need to make peace with God. Secondly, we need to make peace with all men. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, it says, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, here the writer of Hebrews is going to talk to us about peace. He says, verse 14, "Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord." Now, when you think about all people, we think about all men, such as our friends, our neighbors, and even our enemies. We're here to live at peace with them. Make peace with all men. And then finally, we need to make peace with our brethren. Be at peace with our brethren. You know, we are instructed, if we have anything against our brother, we need to lay our gift aside and go be reconciled to him, and then come and give our offering to God. We've got to live at peace with one another. We turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at verse 11. "Finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." Well, that's a powerful closing statement there by the Apostle Paul, especially in light of the fact that through the course of this epistle, he's been dealing with problems that existed with the brethren. They were at odds. There were divisions among them. He addresses those at the very beginning of the letter. And so he says here, "Finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration." There were some that they had withdrawn fellowship from, that they were trying their best to reclaim, to restore. There were others that they were not in agreement with. And he says, agree, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. It's time for you to seek peace. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 13, again, we have the Apostle Paul writing. Here in this text, he says, "And to esteem them very highly in love because of their work, be at peace among yourselves." Here he's given these admonitions, these final instructions. Be at peace among yourselves. Are we at peace with one another? A spiritual peacemaker will adopt the practices that we discussed already from the Scripture. A spiritual peacemaker will seek to make peace with all men, first with God, then with brethren. Are we seeking that peace? Are we the peacemakers that God wants us to be in our lives? Jesus, although many people believed He came to start a war, came to bring peace. And He came to offer peace to all of us. Question is today, will you accept the peace He's ready to give? If you have a need to respond to the invitation this morning, if you are not at peace with God, if you are in sin and that sin has separated you, you have not been reconciled to Him, we want to beg and plead with you to do that. Or if there's something that's not right in your life and you're not at peace with your brethren, or you're not at peace with your neighbor, you're not at peace with God, Won't you do something to set that right today? And do it now, while together we stand and sing.